Coming soon to the Bosley Network.
My name is Jenny Powell. I really want to focus on the relationship that we have with ourselves. My earnest intention here is to hopefully be contagious, that my desire to love myself inspires a desire in you to love yourself. Brazen, conscious, and contagious.
Brazen, conscious, and contagious. Coming soon to the Bosley Network. Premiering Valentine's Day. Right here on thebosley.net.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. You know what? I just need a little dose. You know for what, Kush?
As a microdose.
A micro goddamn dose. How are you? What'd you see? How's it going? I hear there's a torrential monsoon sweeping through the Bay Area. Are you surviving? Oh,
yeah. It's ridiculous. It's pouring sideways, which is an actual thing, especially when you got the Bay Area wind riding it. So that's why, thankfully, you're recording this week's microdose, and hopefully we'll see if that's actually an improvement or if it's no different.
Whatsoever. I'm going to jinx it over here by saying it's all good.
It feels good. It sounds good. I'm not even like, there isn't that robot echo matrix thing that happens when we
not
do this.
Yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not
but
yet.
It's, well, again, it's pouring hard out here. It's the same internet I'm using.
On my side, a rare thank you, AT&T. You're holding it up. You will not hear me say that often.
Speaking of AT&T, just real quick before we start, I just got back from what was AT&T Park, now known as Oracle Park.
Oh, Oracle Park?
Yes.
Interesting. They had to switch it up, I guess, because Oracle Arena is getting lessened in utility. The Warriors are moving across the bay. I guess Oracle's jumping on over to the Giants town there.
They're absolutely doing that. They're in the process of removing everything AT&T related. The giant clock actually came down today. I don't know if that's coming back.
Wow.
But, the clock
is iconic.
The most of that whole scoreboard and Jumbotron and all that, it's all scaffolding right now.
Interesting. So I wonder if they're putting in a better one.
I imagine that's what they're doing, and I'm sure, you know, they're changing some brands left and right, but based on a series of texts only you and I shared today, that's why I'm dealing with a tent in the monsoon as opposed to just putting us in the executive suite.
That seems weird because there are many meeting rooms and PR spots internal to that space. So, you brave the weather indoor/outdoor and blessings on you. Perhaps, yeah, we hope there are new, better billboards going up at Oracle, the newly christened Oracle Park. And they're not just sort of like taking a butter knife and just like scraping the blue and the black off the boards and then putting them back.
You know, this is Silicon Valley. So if the tech companies are smart, they're actually going to make one of those billboards just a giant flat AR backdrop.
Yes.
So your kid can shoot Space Invaders or whatever.
Absolutely.
They're doing on the phone apps.
They can insert them into themselves into the Spider-Verse.
Exactly.
That would happen. So what have you seen? What's up? What movies? You've been chopping it up online. Everybody, KushandKai.com. Check out Kush's awesome reviews. What do you got for us this week here?
There's currently three written reviews up on KushandKai.com right now. I'll actually let you have the pick of the litter, Kai. We've got the found footage horror instant new classic, Butterfly Kisses. We've got the Taraji P. Henson remake of the Mel Gibson film from 2000. I was surprised not to say 1995. What Men Want.
Oh,
then we have the horror 2000, only 19 years ago. I honestly thought that was a 1995 movie, 1997.
It feels dated. It feels like it dated itself.
It was absolutely dated at the time. It's more dated now. We may get into that. I also have The Prodigy, a horror movie that I'm just going to say flat off, better trailer than a movie.
Oh, wow. All right. So I want to hear about what Men Want, and then the found footage one, and then the last one that you just said.
What Men Want is, as in my opening sentence, is the worst thing a comedy can be. It is both long and boring.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is trouble in the parlance of comedy. Ugh.
Yeah. We had a full house for our sneak preview screening. And due to one of those weird anomalies at the Metreon, I actually ended up volunteering to change seats with a couple, like I had a seat. There was a free seat next to me. Then it's a handicap spot and then another free seat. And somehow they got split up. So I took the free seat, so I didn't have to sit next to anybody. And they got the little love recliners. However, this couple also got so bored that the sounds of belt buckles started being heard.
Oh, there we go.
The couple, that was the couple to my right. The couple on my left ate their pasta du jour and then took off at the 45-minute mark of a 2-hour.
Wow, people walking out of the preview. That's rough. All right.
No one laughed at the same. No two people laughed at the same joke.
That's hard.
Normally, even in a bad comedy, like, you know, a smattering of people will laugh at the same joke. No.
Pockets? No. Little pockets?
This thing is literally throwing jokes at you the entire time. Oh. A lot of them are bad. The inappropriate ones I laughed at because I'm an asshole. Uh-huh. Again, no one laughed at the jokes I laughed at. I didn't laugh at the jokes anyone else laughed at. It's literally my ha-has and then someone else and then a completely different person. It was very...
That's disconcerting. That is not a fun... That's not a...
And there's no slouches in this movie. Taraji P. Henson, great comedy timing. Not in this movie. The man who directed it, whose name is not in front of me, he's got a resume of movies that are successful but forgettable. Nonetheless, so successful. Examples of Father of the Bride. Cheaper by the Dozen 2.
Uh-huh.
And then the other Steve Martin classic, Bringing Down the House.
Adam Shankman,
yes.
Yeah.
Adam Shankman is, for some reason, he's got some hip-hop roots. I don't know what that is.
I'm seeing that on his background here. That is some interesting stuff. Other than Rock of Ages, The Pacifier of Vin Diesel, Hairspray, and A Walk to Remember. Wow.
Pacifier, not a good movie, made a lot of money.
My daughter loves The Pacifier.
I bet she does.
I bet
she also loves the Jackie Chan version of it, as well as Kindergarten Cop, as well as whatever.
Wait, I liked Kindergarten Cop.
I'm sure you do. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying it's a formula. You take super alpha tough guy around children.
Yeah, we're familiar with this one, but it sounds like it missed. Let me ask you just this one last piece about what men want. I've been super curious about Tracy Morgan returning to regular activities as an entertainer. How did he do?
Tracy Morgan's character is all over the place. There are times where he's three different characters in this movie, all the same character, but three different tones.
Okay.
I will say he's cartoon Tracy Morgan, which you see all over the ads. Then he's concerned father. He's what you would hope. Lonzo Ball, is that the name? Is that the correct name?
From the Lakers.
The kid who was going to be something, and his dad is running him, and now LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball is the dad. Lonzo is the actual kid that's on. Well, what is he? 19, 20?
Well, he's playing that dude. Okay, and there are times where he's
21. Sorry,
I don't know. He's playing that dude, and there are times where he's just thinking for himself. There are times when he's actually a concerned father for his son. You feel it in the performance. And then there's one specific scene where you meet his wife, who's actually running the show, but she is never brought up again. She is never mentioned again. She's gone. She is all the alpha to his beta when they're in the one scene together. And then after that, it's just she never existed. He's arguably the biggest name in this movie, but doesn't need to be in any of the advertising. It's such a supporting character.
Well, there we go. And the one scene that I saw in the trailer, how did that pay off? It must not have, but it was Charles. Was it Shaq? Tracy Morgan, Mark Cuban around a table in the poker scene.
The poker scene is funny. Most of those jokes that were in the trailer are not in the movie, I'm happy to say. We never hear, why is Shaq speaking in the third person?
That wasn't in the movie.
That doesn't make the movie.
Lies. There are some Tracy lies.
Morgan does smell toast, but I think owner of the Mavericks.
Mark Cuban.
I think he had the funniest stuff. His inner monologue is all just, man, I'm rich. Boy, am I rich. Do I like being rich? Man, I got to stop playing poker with these broke assholes. Like, I am rich. Very, very funny ADR.
There we go. And also, too, to Mark Cuban or Sheldon Adelson or any other, the Koch brothers, your taxes this year are, you may be paying if you had been receiving, if you're of us in the lower 98%. And we support them. We're furnishing their tax cut. So good to them. I'm glad they're getting acting gigs too. I mean, that's something. What do you think you got? I think you got scale for that. What did he get?
Oh, he probably just got to hang out with Taraji P. Henson and Tracy Morgan. That was probably fantastic. His deal.
All right. So next movie, what do you got?
Butterfly Kisses.
Wait. Sorry. What did you, what, how many blueberries? Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Two out of six.
Okay. Got two.
Gave it worse, but you know, like there, again, no one in this movie is bad. It's just tone, pacing, and well, bad writing.
Tone, pacing. Yeah, that's rough. That's a tough combo. And comedy's hard. Everybody, comedy's hard. Comedy can be really hard. So
comedy is hard.
I'm glad they tried, but there it is. All right, butterfly kisses, butterfly flisses. What do you have?
This was actually the winner of the unnamed found footage festival.
Hey-o!
My friend of the show, Madeline Costner's festival, as well as the rest of the staff the Outlook Theater, Outlook Podcast. What's up, guys? Looking forward to seeing you at the end of the month for Unfound Footage Festival 2. Where Butterfly Kisses will make its second screening as last year's festival winner. They get to be the first movie shown this year.
Fantastic.
Very fascinating movie. It's a found footage movie within a found footage movie within a found footage movie.
Oh, my gosh.
That hasn't been done yet, at least not in this genre. It starts off just, you know, much like the Blair Witch Project. Couple of college kids investigating an infamous urban legend in this small Maryland town, and then as always shit goes south.
Of course. Why would that go well for you investigating
that never goes well. And, no, and their box of footage, their box of tapes is found randomly in a house, but by an aspiring filmmaker, and so he takes it upon himself to complete their movie. And then he's like, well, I don't want people to think that this is just some bullshit movie I made. So I'm going to hire a documentary crew to observe me doing this. Okay. And there's some great scenes here where he's trying to show his movie to the local paranormal investigator club. You know, these are the folks who please themselves over, you know, photos of orbs when it's just, you know, dust on the lens.
Obviously. Or, you know, a block or
whatever. They laugh him out of the building. Like, that's how low this guy's story gets. He goes mad. His path follows the same as the kids and the footage that he found.
Oh, no.
And then everything gets transferred to the next crew. And it's just an endless cycle. It's really well done. The mandatory jump scares are there, but they're used effectively and sparsely.
Oh, so good stuff.
Currently on Amazon Prime for rent. If you actually are a Prime member, you can watch this for free. But I recommend everybody see, if you like found footage movies, go see Butterfly Kisses.
That is fantastic. Go Butterfly Kisses. I might have to check. I'm going to have to check that out. I think my wife would be right in that alley. And I also mentioning my wife, if we found a box of mixed like VHS and then like the 8-inch like old tapes on the thing, and just sort of, if it was our mission to sort of decode what was on there, and then maybe there was maybe a murder plot, like I would be in. I would be so fucking in to just, yeah, it's just, I know there are companies that are like, oh no, we'll drop off a murder mystery at your house every month, but you're like, that's contrived. But if you found it in the woods, you'd be like,
No, this is the real shit, Kai. This is how hard you take your murder mystery party. Okay? Get all your closest friends together. Yeah. Everyone gets on the beta deck. And we just start editing footage all night long. Converting,
we got to line up the timelines. Maybe this one happened after that. You got to lay it out. No, I'm in.
You storyboard it. You get the pacing down.
Maybe that's what it is, everybody. Well, fantastic. And then the last one you saw, The Prodigy. What do you got
here? The Prodigy, it wants to be The Exorcist. It wants to be The Good Son from 1993. It's a little bit of both, but for a 91-minute movie, it's very long. At one Trouble point, again. Reincarnation is just assumed. Mm-hmm. It is literally assumed and theorized. This is a movie about a serial killer whose soul goes into the body of an 8-year-old boy. There's no rhyme or reason behind it. When this man was murdered, this boy was born, and it just kind of happened. They were not in the vicinity of each other. It's just, it is what it is. And even the theory that is parsed out in the movie ends up being wrong. It's just random. Random thing.
Okay.
However, it does use actual ABC news footage on this subject, which I thought was neat and wondered, ooh, how much did you license that for? There was a story about a boy who was playing with his G.I. Joes one day. Mm-hmm. And he all of a sudden, like, a 6-year-old boy is calling out map coordinates and using like real military verbiage. So shit he's not seeing in his average SpongeBob SquarePants show. There's a whole thing where they had to get a hypnotist and therapists and whatever. And they went like, oh, this kid is hosting a soul.
Oh, shit.
The quote unquote personality gave them these specific map coordinates to where his troop was murdered in battle. By, just the enemy just bombed them. They found an unmarked grave with United States military personnel.
Oh, shit.
this is a real story. They actually used the real footage for this in the movie. It was way more interesting than the movie that I saw last night.
Well, that sounds, I would like to see said footage and story you're talking about.
I'll send you the YouTube.
A long YouTube clip or essay would probably do me right there, so I'm game. How many blueberries did you give this one?
This one's also getting 2 out of 6 blueberries.
Rough outing for Kush. A lot of twos happening.
They try to like push the envelope as far as they can with an 8-year-old boy. So at one point, when the murderer is speaking through his 8-year-old host, they mention also they have this kid dropping all the expletives, all the fancy 4-letter words. However, they crop his mouth out of the shot, mm-hmm. So it's all just ADR. They got some woman or some dude who sounds like an 8-year-old to input this awful dialogue. But they tried to go there.
Well, there it is. Okay, well, thank you much, everybody. Again, go check those reviews out on KushinKai.com. And as a bridge, child horror rearing its head, I watched a trailer, maybe you've seen this too, for the Child's Play 2019.
Trailer was advertised as being part of The Prodigy last night. So, yes, I saw that. I wasn't impressed. It might as well have been any one of those random ads they would drop during Lost.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it's nothing. It was just a teaser. I'm more confused about Child's Play 2019 existing.
We just
had a Child's Play movie come out.
We did.
And they tried to do a soft reboot of it, and it's not a bad movie. It's on Netflix right now. Go check it out.
Cult of Chucky. I think this went over my head. The one thing that caught my attention about this trailer was it was not like demonic possession. It was there are advanced cybernetics in this thing and possibly AI. And that is what the new driving force is for it being evil. Perhaps it's been compromised or misprogrammed. But I'm like, look, it's such a simple concept. And they were, you know what I mean? It's like, there's kids, and then there's there's murders going on. And they had that song, like, he's my best friend, like, playing over the mom being gradually hung because she was noosed to a forklift thing that was going up. Anyway, I'm curious. It is like a simple and endurable, because even if anybody released a new, like, hey, there's another Leprechaun coming, I'm like, I'm listening. Like, I'd have to.
By FYI, we had a Leprechaun reboot 3 years ago.
Exactly. Like, I can't not look. So I'm like, yeah, sure, this is on my radar, but I'm not, you know, I'm not diving to see it, but I'm curious, definitely. Next up, Phil Lord, Chris Miller, they're going to do a sci-fi project, The Last Human, that was in a big bidding war coming off of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Last Human is like 30 years after the robot apocalypse. Humans are extinct. A young AI robot thing finds a 12-year-old girl that's been living in a bunker for all this time, and they spark a friendship and things happen. And I'm like, well, it sounds a little like, okay, but with those two helming it, I'm like, well, I gotta see what they're doing here. Like, I'm curious already.
I'm sorry, man.
No, I'm just saying, like, I extend them that credit where it's like, okay, well, you guys have shown us some interesting stuff. Like, let's see what you got here. Even though, it just depends how they portray and take it, I would imagine.
Lord and Miller right now, while they're not doing anything necessarily original, including what you just described to me, those guys are white hot and their stock is only growing.
Yeah.
Like, those guys could wipe their mouth with a cocktail napkin and that would become a movie. Okay.
Probably. Or at least a Hulu series.
No doubt. Those guys know how to write. They know how to write. They know how to use a formula and they know how to make it just different enough. Okay. There's really no difference between the Lego movie and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, except for the fact that they're both enjoyable.
Yay! That's what we're... I mean, ultimately, people, when we go out, I mean, one of the rules, could you please be watchable? Please.
Yeah, watchable and enjoyable. So I'm excited to hear about any projects that they do have coming up. Tell me the plot after we've seen the movie. It'll be fine. So
there we go.
These guys, right now, as it is, even while I didn't give Lego Movie 2 the best review, right now these guys can do no wrong.
There we go. Moving to TV news, TV-ish news, I guess. BBC America plans to release Planet Earth 3 and Frozen Planet 2 coming to BBC America, which I don't know the timing schedules because they release it in the UK like 3 months before, and then it sort of trickles down out of different things. However, the savvy can see it. But Planet Earth 3 will be in 2022, and then Frozen Planet 2 will be in 2021. Mm-hmm. I remember early on, because like Planet Earth came out in like 2009, I think, or 2010, somewhere in there.
Sounds about right. I remember having to record that whole series for a girlfriend.
And that was the first time I think I had started steadily. That was the first time I was regularly getting high, and that coming out and just having that in HD on a big screen TV, and you're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have this leftover barbecue. We're going to get high. We're going to watch. It was like one of the best memories I can hold up about, like, wow, I did not know that about the Tundra. Like, it was just one of those things. And they are some of the folks that are like, yeah, hey, we're fucking it up, everybody. We've melted all the glaciers. All these animals are going to die. So let's capture them now. It's bittersweet in its thing. But keep going, BBC. Keep rocking those. And as long as Dave Attenborough is alive. Our last remaining cinematic Attenborough. Let's use him. Let's employ him while we have him.
Those series do nothing for me just as a spectator, but they are
you don't like nature.
The science and nature films that I wish I had had when I was growing up. You know, my attention would probably been way stronger. Maybe not. Mm. However, it's like some of the best filmed anything going that, on.
They,
second to none, really. Like James Cameron is obsessing over the footage that the BBC produces with these series.
It's just the things that they pioneer where it's like, we left a time release camera to capture, this took about a year and a half of the camera moving along a track about 6 inches every, 2 months, and then capturing this tree blooming, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Or they just have a drone that's up 3,000 feet watching a swarm of 80,000 birds moving. You're like, holy shit. Anyway, much props to them. Okay, moving along. I have to say, in podcast and everyone and their mother's news, in the same week, heard about, it was Conan O'Brien needs friends or wants friends. Conan O'Brien has a podcast where he talks to people, celebrities and other folks that he's interviewed about how come they didn't become friends. And now Will Ferrell has a podcast. He's doing the Ron Burgundy. He's doing a podcast as Ron Burgundy.
Is he doing Ron Burgundy at 75? Because that's how old he would be.
Nope. He's just the Ron Burgundy character in a podcast. And that is happening. So we're reaching the saturation point. Literally everyone has a podcast. We don't need to press that too hard, but everybody has a podcast. It's the new thing. We're reaching a point where it's going to be the next thing where it's like, you know how everyone had like, oh, do you have a website? And then it was like, oh, do you have a blog? Oh, wait, do you have this? Do you have a Twitter handle? Oh, no. And then we've gotten to podcast. And so we're going to need a new thing for, sort of the popular edge to bleed into. I feel like it'll be like your VR living room. Do you know what I mean? Like, Stephen Colbert will have like, hey, it's Stephen Colbert in his digital living room. And you go there and have it. That'll be the next edge. But we're saturated. We're here. People will shift and move on. Anyway. Back to TV news. HBO, and I don't know if I'm sad about it because I have enjoyed all of it as it's happening. HBO announced that Veep, their final season, will be happening. 10 episodes in late 2019. That is coming up. I enjoyed Veep a great deal. Some just improv killers on that show. One of my favorite things, them just taking each other down just brutally. And hearing politicians, hearing politicians describe Washington as everyone thinks they are House of Cards, but it's closer to Veep, is a great comparison that I can grasp.
Now, how many seasons of Veep have there been? I've never seen the show.
They're in six. They're going to end on seven.
Okay.
Wait, it's five. They're going to end on six. Sorry.
Five seasons ending on six. Sorry. I say that's great news, especially like you seem very appreciative of the show. You seem to like it a lot. I say end the show before it goes stale and you go,
smart.
Like, oh, smart I didn't cancel this show 5 years ago,
Exactly.
Very few shows have that. Depending on how old you are, The Simpsons should have ended 18 years ago, 12 years ago, 6 years ago.
They just signed on for 31 and 32.
I know. And must be making a killing because I've always heard that the cast is ready to retire that show. But
they're done.
The checks keep clearing, so why would they stop?
They're getting checks. Anyway. I don't blame them. They're getting checks. Look, get checks, guys. Like that's what you're doing.
So Veep, what I'm getting with this is Veep being canceled is not a bad thing. Veep being canceled is a good thing because you'll always have a fond memory of it. Also, as you and I keep reminding our audience, nothing stays dead.
No.
So in 5 years, this will be a show again.
It could be if it comes back. If it's not, appreciate everybody there. Like they've just done a great job to interpreting all those things. All right, moving on. Back to movie news briefly. Robert Rodriguez was supposed to remake Escape from New York. And he got held up with Alita Battle Angel, which kept having bigger and bigger issues, and they pushed it back. Yeah. And that's taken up his time. So that's still supposed to come out. But inside that news, some bits came up about how the last chapter in a Snake Plissken. He escaped from New York. He escaped from L.A. The third one was supposed to be he escaped from Earth.
That's right. I've heard about that.
I would have fucking loved to see this thing because even just for the first 2.5 minutes of explanation of why he needs to escape Earth would be priceless. Is it nuclear winter? Is it just crime has gone everywhere? Is there a structure for him to escape to? Like, is there a space world that he wants to go to? Is there
it would be hard for him to escape Earth since he set off a global EMP. That's how the escape from LA ends.
Of course. How is he going to do this? Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, but why are you doing... Like, what's the... I'm into the why. And whatever the why would be would need to be ridiculous, especially in the time scale given, unless he was like cryo frozen. You know what I mean? Like, unless he was it's Demolition Man frozen and he woke up in the future. That again would also be, and again, they wrote that third one years before Demolition Man. Maybe they thought of that. It was going to happen. That would be awesome. Like if you just wake up Snake Plissken 100 years into the future, what does that look like? Even if he doesn't escape Earth, I'd like to see that movie. That would be great.
Well, EMP aside, if it's anything like the last two movies, the president needs him to take care of some shit. So he has to go back down to Earth, most likely rescue his nephew, his granddaughter. I don't know. However, it involves once he's got the cargo, he has to leave Earth. And then the entire time he's dealing with some sort of virus that the government specifically gave him, and if he doesn't complete the mission in 25 hours, he's dead. However, he does complete the mission with minutes to spare, and they go, psych, fooled you, ha ha ha, and then Snake gets his revenge on everybody in the room.
Well, I would like to see everything that you've just described happen. That would be great, and I'm awaiting it. So, yes, that's exactly what I would like to see. Please produce it. All right.
Now, is The Rock supposed to be in this, or am I mixing that up with the Big Trouble in Little China sequel?
No. I don't know. All I read was they're going to remake it, and they're not making the...
They're just remaking it. Okay.
Yeah, they're just remaking it. The next up, Universal is suiting up to do Wicked to stir up the Christmas 2021 season here.
The musical Wicked?
Yes, they're making a movie out of it. This has been verboten for a long time, and I'm part of it. Look, I'm a fan. I like musicals. I don't know how I'm going to feel about somebody that's not Kristen Chenoweth singing it. Look, I saw it in San Francisco. It wasn't Kristen. It was great. It was fine. But how there's a lot of pieces and parts to this, and there's a big, is it anti-fascist? Is it anti... there's a lot of components that kind of get left to... In a movie, you could dwell on things too long if it's not just the songs. Like, you can fuck this up in a lot of ways, especially because it doesn't have the people that we've known and loved in it. I think it'd be great. It will have an audience. It will travel. God, Wicked the show has been in dozens and dozens of different countries. Like, this stretches across a lot of barriers, but yeah, I'm concerned about a movie here. I don't know if we need nothing about
musicals. My favorite musical is The Greatest Showman, if that tells you anything. However, this is one statistic I've seen. This is one trend. This is one thing I keep seeing repeatedly with Broadway musicals turned to movies. And I'm talking like A Chorus Line, I'm talking Rent. I'm even talking the movie Rock of Ages. Les Mis. Everybody who loves the presentation that they saw on a stage hates that movie.
Yes.
And then
that's real. You're reading the thing. Yes, no you're reading the vision. Thing. Yeah.
So this is going to... I can't see this being any different from that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exact same thing I'm picking up on, where the core fans have reason to fear it and then maybe hate it. Or even if you give them a little out, they're going to be just out on it. So I'm concerned, but they're doing it. It's happening. But you know what I mean? It'll get what it gets. Boy, yeah, some conflicting feelings. All right.
Well, they stay under budget.
A couple more things. Amazon Prime, the Dark Tower series, sets production schedule. This thing has been kicked around. It's been twisted. It's been moved. But yeah, apparently they're going to set down here. It's going to distance itself from the 2017 film adaptation, which people did not like.
9 minutes I've ever spent in the theater.
Yeah, and it doesn't. It's King's epics are epics, so you can't really cover a piece of it and kind of convince folks, or maybe you can if it was tender. Like, I don't know.
Amazon, let this one cool off for another decade, okay?
Maybe you know? Sit on it a bit, because
you have forgotten the face of your father.
Yeah, you have forgotten it. I think it'll be better served in an episodic series,
most likely.
Yeah, most likely. But that is happening. Oh boy. All right. Lastly, last piece of news. I know you will not believe this is true until you sit down to type out the review of it. Like, until you're sitting there, Kush is sitting there and has had some popcorn. He's taking a swig of his soda laden with whiskey. And then he goes back and he's thinking about it on the end, Judah. And then he is writing about it. But until that point, he will not believe that I am saying Bill and Ted 3 is filming. I know this is an audio medium. He's shaking his head on the video feed here. Bill and Ted 3.
Bill and Ted 3.
They set some shooting dates. They celebrated that they were verified on Twitter.
Yeah.
He will not believe that this project exists until
I'm sitting in the fucking seat.
After you've purchased your tickets, you've sat there, you've shrugged and said, maybe they didn't need to make that. And then you return, give it a blueberries, right? You will not, until you leave the theater, believe that it actually happened. No. So I understand that, but I still too, I'm game. I'm gonna see it. You're gonna see it. Many others will maybe see it. Before we go.
I'm looking forward to it though.
Yep. I know. It's like homework. It's gonna be like homework. You're gonna have to go see what they fucked up.
No, it's
you're not gonna go see it?
It won't be homework. If it actually exceeds the fact that I don't think it'll be made, if it's made, if it has advanced tickets now on sale, if I get that email saying your outlet has been invited to review Bill and Ted 3, until any one of those things happen, I don't believe it's happening. I think the Twitter page is a troll. I think someone just got some geek at Twitter excited for no reason, and they went, I got a blue check mark this right now.
Understood. No. Much like Lucy and what's his name with Peanut,
Charlie Brown with the football.
Charlie Brown with the football. This has happened to you before.
I'm not kicking that ball, Lucy.
No, you're not. You've been jaded to this rhetoric, and I understand that. That's why I called it out. But yeah, we're gonna go back. Much like if they remade, not remake. You don't have to remake. You just add another one to Back to the Future. Could they make another Back to the Future?
Not as long as Robert Zemeckis is still alive.
Yeah, but what if they bring Robert Zemeckis back? Maybe he's crazy enough now to come back and do another one.
Yeah, he has specifically made Universal sign a contract. This is a thing he has said in interviews. There will not be a Back to the Future 4 or a remake as long as he lives.
Mm. So he either has to die. Or rescind that contract.
Which he's not doing.
Look, Zemeckis has gone off the deep end a few times. Like, I think he's lost his mind. He could come back and he's like, look, Marty McFly's son has to go back and meet Jesus. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm in. I'm listening.
No, Universal, I don't put it past them. If they absolutely want a new Back to the Future, they will just take the script and Mad Libs everything. It's not Marty McFly. It's Michael McMarty.
Donnie McMurphy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers are clever enough and not clever enough to get a Back to the Future sequel made, the working around Zemeckis' contract.
So they'll have to have him killed. All right, so Universal,
the easiest way to get it done.
Universal will assassinate Robert Zemeckis. All right.
You heard it here first. CushionKai.com told you on the microdose. Universal, if anything happens to Robert Zemeckis, Universal Studios did it.
That's where it is. Visit us at CushionKai.com. Tweet us some shit. Follow us on Facebook. Send us some love mail or hate mail, a question, maybe one or two or none. Anyway.
Coming February 14th, Brazen Conscious and Contagious. Subscribe right now on iTunes and Stitcher. It has its own RSS feed. Look for that coming February 14th. It'll be Mondays immediately after that.
Fuck yeah. All right. We'll do that, and we'll do us until we do you the next time. Rock on, Kush.
Rock on, Kush. Coming soon to the Bosley Network.
My name is Jenny Powell. I really want to focus on the relationship that we have with ourselves. My earnest intention here is to hopefully be contagious, that my desire to love myself inspires a desire in you to love yourself. Brazen, Conscious, and Contagious.
Brazen, Conscious, and Contagious. Coming soon to the Bosley Network. Premiering Valentine's Day. Right here on thebosley.net. Thebosley.net.
Siéntete, Bosley, siéntete.
Better trailer than a movie.